when I'm
giving it a bit of this. Is it working?
It's still working.
A bit of that.
And when you give it a bit of that.
Even with a bit of that. Pressure testing.
The guy who set it up must have done a stellar job. Stellar.
Even
producer.
Even a little bit of...
From there, it looks like you're wearing a turban. just the little miniature screen from a distance.
Yeah, maybe I've changed. It's going to be a Sikh now. Are they the blokes who wear...
They wear turbans.
There we go. My Uber driver was a Sikh the other day.
Okay. I haven't called an Uber for about 8 years.
You haven't called an Uber?
No.
Oh, fair enough. Well, I got two Ubers the other day.
I'm stingy.
How do you get to places?
Either I drive
right.
or take public transport.
Do you take public transport in Aotearoa very often?
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Although, no, actually, I haven't for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, I remember for the Christmas parade, we didn't want to drive into the city.
Fair enough.
Santa parade.
Yeah.
So we took the train, and I checked the account balance of my account, and the last time I'd used it was the previous year's Santa parade. So
the Santa parade is the Uber day. Fair enough. And but then you would actually, it's going to give you a false economy there, isn't it? Because it gives surge pricing for an event like that, so you're able to pay through the nose. That's the day you don't want to do it.
I wouldn't have even considered taking an Uber.
All right.
Even though I'm in China, I don't take taxis, and they do it cheap.
Didi, I take Didi's. I'm in China.
China.
It's just easier, especially when you don't speak the language.
This is true. Getting by in China without Chinese is a little bit of a bother.
Because it's not a lot of English there.
Although, interestingly, I had a comment on my other channel, Two Cents on Tour, which just published a video the other day for the first time in 3 weeks.
We're going to watch it after this.
And we will. We'll give it a like.
Yeah.
Watch it all the way to the end. Yeah, someone was there and he was saying how he was in Shanghai and he couldn't get people to speak Chinese to him because everyone was speaking English to him. I was like, whoa, Tony had the opposite problem.
Oh, no. I want to hang out with that guy.
Mm.
Yeah. No, there was a lot. For the only Asian countries I've been in, it was a good one. I enjoyed myself. But not a lot of English was spoken to me when I was in China. Maybe they were like, let's fuck with this guy. We're not gonna...
Mark told us about this guy.
Yeah. We're not going to speak English to this dude. But here we are, Mark. Another week has passed.
Bledisloe is on the horizon.
Oh, we're into it.
We're getting there's over been a, the another, South African loss.
Another disappointing
the
week.
The Black Ferns went another, down.
Another disappointing week in New Zealand rugby.
At the moment. Goodness me, the doldrums.
It's a sad news story. But if anything of note happened with you this week?
What happened with me? School holidays started.
Oh, you hate the school holidays.
School holidays. My kids are home.
Yeah.
So that's different.
So you go from having to be a full-time YouTuber to also a full-time parent, you're doing all the care as well.
Although my wife was home today. She gets one day a week she can work from home. So she.
Do you ever do a holiday program stuff or anything?
They are booked in for Wednesday.
Right.
This is the first time they've done a school holiday program.
Where are they going?
Some like gymnastics thing.
Oh. Jimbo's can.
It's kind of like, because I got a boy and a girl. Like a lot of the stuff my daughter would like.
You sound kind of American when you say that. I got a boy and a girl.
I got a boy and a girl.
Yeah.
One of them would enjoy some things, but not the others, and then vice versa. But gymnastics, they can both. I think it's going to be more girls there, but there's going to be stuff for my son to do as well.
You can get physical.
Yeah.
As Olivia Newton-John would say.
Indeed.
Let's get physical. What's your favorite musical of all time?
Favorite music? How many musicals have I seen? I've seen Grease. Speaking of Olivia Newton-John, it's a good one. Although
That's
some of
those
songs are kind of a bit creepy when you listen to them
what
now.
Do you mean? She's a real pussy wagon, Grease Lightning.
The tell me more.
What's creepy about that? They're just trying to get the goss on this dude.
I remember there's one line in that one which is a bit dodgy.
It's a real pussy wagon in Grease Lightning.
Yeah.
Like, does she have a friend? Uh-huh. Okay, we can sing the whole song if you want. I could sing it. Do you want me to start at the...
No, it's okay.
Summer loving had me a blast. You have to do the...
No, that's okay.
Summer loving happened so fast. Met a girl... Oh, we got down. You know what I mean. Is that
right,
it?
Right,
well, that's not too bad. Just a little bit of sexual innuendo.
Yeah, a little
for
bit.
For the team.
Yeah.
He showed up splashing around. You think that means ejaculate? Is that what you read into it? He showed up splashing around that he was just splashing jizz everywhere.
That's exactly what I thought it was.
Really paints a different picture on that set.
It's something of a different movie.
Yeah, because he's trying to paint the story that she was drowning. And then he showed up just ejaculating
all over the place.
My ejaculate was so heavy it almost drowned a woman. Yeah. My gosh.
Good times.
Good times. Okay, so
Greece. Yeah, school holidays.
Greece is your favorite?
I don't know. How many musicals have I even seen? I don't know.
I've been watching The Sound of Music.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a classic.
Cracker. Mm. Real banger. Love The Sound of Music.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Moulin Rouge.
I haven't seen it.
I enjoyed that. Phantom of the Opera. I
haven't seen it.
What about Fiddler on the Roof?
Have not seen it. I'm a man of no culture, apparently.
Oliver?
Nah, haven't seen it.
Sweeney Todd?
Nope.
Bye Bye Birdie?
It. Haven't seen it.
I've been in all of these shows, by the way.
Okay.
I'm just going through the ones that I've been in.
Yep.
What else have I been in?
I wasn't a drama
kid. I was Conrad Birdie in Bye Bye Birdie.
Okay, I wasn't a drama kid at all.
I was.
But I am going to be in a show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I got a note.
What show are you going to be in?
Said we need a man. We need a...
I didn't get the call up.
We need a tall man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Need a tall fellow.
For my daughter's like dancing school.
Oh.
They got their production at the end of the year.
You're going to be a tree.
I don't know what I'm going to be. They haven't said. But I got a little note that says, like, tell your dad to come and see me. So.
Oh, wow.
The lady that runs it has her mum helping out. And I said to her, she gave me this note. Like, what's the deal with this? Yeah, go talk to her. She needs men. Oh. And I was like, oh, I hear you need a man.
So what are you going to do?
Apparently dance.
Really? Well, good for you, man. Proud of you.
My daughter was very, very excited that I'd be in the show with her. So
good for you. Good for you.
Yep.
At the end of year show that my daughter does for her dance club, it's a very stressful environment. Just be aware of that because there's a lot going on. There's a lot of girls involved, like hundreds of the buggers.
Yep.
And then they're all their mums that are backstage as well, worried about all their costume
changes.
I've
never been backstage. My wife's done the backstage
thing. Oh, I did it last year. I got my ex-wife signed me up to do it.
Nice.
So I had a group of little girls that I had to take care of, make sure they got to the stage on time. And then there's all these other mums that are just hanging on, making sure that their little girl has a costume change. And they're all putting so much pressure on the organizers and stuff. And they're all anxious as going, I just don't think there's enough time for her. Look, she's in this one and this one. And then the organizers are just like, oh, look, they're just stressed out. I swear they're drinking pump bottles, but I'm sure to get by, there's probably gin. Bit of gin. And it's like, I was just getting like association. Osmosis.
Stressed by osmosis.
Yeah. I was just having to hang back. And then I almost missed the girls getting to the stage.
Oh, damn. They added to the stress.
They got there. Everything was fine.
I don't think I'm easily stressed, but it did put me to the test.
This will put you to the test. But no, it's good, man. I'm a dance dad too. I don't have to go into the show, though. Mm. I haven't been given the big call up.
You're not tall enough.
No, I'm not tall enough. What kind of dances?
I have no idea. All I've been told is I'm going to be dancing. I'm going to have a dance partner.
Oh.
One of the mums. Oh. And my wife was like, hello, what?
Oh, really?
They didn't ask me. And I was like, well, honey.
And then we have to
What can I say?
We have to simulate some sort of stuff. But it's all just, you know, it's in the arts, you know? Things get freaky. What kind of dance does your daughter do, though?
I don't even know. I just know it's the Nutcracker.
It's ballet, then.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
It's ballet.
Ballet. It's a famous ballet, isn't it? The Nutcracker. The Nutcracker at Little Christmas time.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So.
And also, that's what you're there, because your dance partner is this very pivotal moment where a big tall man comes out at the end, does a little shimmy out, spreads his legs quite wide, and then Jean-Claude Van Damme
cuts his nuts off.
No, he comes down, does the splits, and does the old punch to the nuts, and that's the Nutcracker. Yeah, that's right. That's the
reference. I got it.
That's the Nutcracker.
I may not know like musicals, but I know video game
yeah,
references.
Yeah, you are a cultured individual.
Cultured, yeah, very cultured.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I told you I went to see Shakespeare before, right?
Oh, what Shakespeare did you see?
Oh, well, the one that had when Ian McKellen was here doing Lord of the Rings, he did
Hamlet.
He did a performance of King Lear.
Oh, I love King Lear.
He got his cock out.
Thank God.
I've told this story before. I've told it so many. Anytime I get a chance to talk about Ian McKellen's cock, I'm talking about it. He got his cock out.
Yeah. King Lear's a good one. All those daughters and whatnot.
Only the youngest one was the good one. The other two were kind of bitches.
Yeah. And then she's the one that refuses
to take his kingdom.
Yeah, and refuses to like
blow butter him up. Yeah,
yeah, blow smoke up his ass.
Yeah, basically.
I'm more of a Scottish play man myself.
So you like the old Macbeth?
We're not in the theatre, so you can say that. Don't okay. When you're in the theatre, don't say
Macbeth. Don't say it.
Don't say it. Something will happen.
Yeah. No, Macbeth's a good one as well.
Oh.
Yeah, he did a bit of all right, the old Shakespeare.
Ah, Shakespeare did pretty good, didn't he? He wasn't too bad.
This is a strange podcast.
Yeah. Women's rugby?
We did watch some women's rugby.
Ba-boom. Ba-bam-boom. Because it was a sad morning for us New Zealanders.
At least it was on at a reasonable time.
What time was it on?
6 a.m.
I didn't wake up.
Okay.
Yeah. I woke up and I forgot it was on and then I checked my phone and went, oh.
You saw the result?
I saw the result.
Oh, bugger.
And then I was like, oh, that sucks.
Well, even if you'd been watching live, it was still kind of like, oh, we're down by 3 tries.
Yeah. The Canadians just came out.
They brought the lightning.
Yeah, they came out like a bullet out of a barrel and just
we started slow right against the Bok girls and we got away with it.
Yeah.
And we started slow against the Canadians and they didn't hesitate.
They came with all piss vinegar and
put us to the sword.
And they were clinical as well.
They were so good.
Such a good looking footy team. I mean, yeah.
I think they're my favourite team to watch. I mean, the Black Ferns have got some scintillating backline moves.
Yeah.
And England's forwards are just unbelievable. But I feel like Canada's...
They play the whole rugby. Package.
Yeah, the total rugby.
Yeah, like that's great back line, really, really powerful forwards. That woman, Goody?
To Goody.
Oh, jeez.
Honestly, she's one of the best players that I've ever seen. She just does everything.
Yeah.
Because, I always follow the stats. And the good thing about the World Cup is they actually have women's rugby stats.
Yeah, right.
She's always like one of their top tacklers. She's always one of the top carriers. She kicks their goals. She like wins lineouts, she scores tries, like she just fucking does everything.
So she's making a world 15 easy.
Yeah, she's like John Eels, but in women's rugby, God. And Canadian.
Yeah, yeah, and they came through and just like they felt like there was more Kiwi fans there, probably a lot of expats in that side of the world.
Yep,
and not such a big sport in Canada. But they just gave them zero to cheer about, and it wasn't even until like the 55th minute that the. I was about to say the Black girls. The Black Ferns started to maybe string things together. Yeah. They were just stifled at every other attempt. And you can put that down to a lack of cohesion and just looking a bit stiff and a little bit flat maybe. Mm. But I think the main factor was they were just getting dominated.
Yeah.
Really. It was a bit sad.
It was. Because it was Kiwi, supposed to be... Like, oh, maybe, New Zealand's backs, if they go up against it, they can get quick ball, maybe.
Yeah.
But... We got to get past Canada first.
I kind of thought we would do that one. I thought we would get it.
My dad called it. He's like, Canada's going to win. We got injuries. Georgia Miller's out.
And, Georgia Miller being out was
so unfortunate.
Unfortunate.
Our midfield was a bit disjointed as well.
And what's that girl, McGee, didn't have her greatest.
Braxton, Sorensen, McGee.
She didn't have her greatest 18. Game. Just a kid, eh? What a tournament. One thing about her, though, is
when people have got long names like that, especially double-barreled names.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like to abbreviate them in my notes. Like, Lukan Salakailoto becomes LSL, but Braxton Sorensen McGee just becomes BSM. I'm like, that doesn't look... I read that on my whiteboard, and I was like, nope, BSM! Nope, we need to write the full name.
BSM, whipping it out down the side. All right.
Yeah.
Braden's...
Braxton Sorensen McGee.
Oh, she had an incredible tournament, but unfortunately the game
she still
just
scored a try.
Yeah, and that was a good, well-taken try.
Yeah.
It looks like the Black Ferns dropped off a few tackles that led to tries. And
the halfback for Canada, Peltier, was also just on fire.
They seem to just deliver so many daggers. At crucial moments, we're like, okay, just got to warm back into this game, and boop, they just score another try, and you'd be like, oh, God.
Try, yeah.
Yeah. I want... Is this going to be a sexist point? I've been mulling it over. It's a controversial point. I think women referees make great referees, and there's no reason why a woman referee can't be as good a referee as a men's referee. But the women's rugby that I do watch, I think for the World Cup,
it's been a bit average.
I think you need the best referees in the world. And if the best referee in the world is a woman, and you get him to referee the men's World Cup final. You get her to referee.
Yeah, the main one we've had is Holly Davidson, the Scottish referee.
Yeah.
She's fucking good. Yeah. She's really, really good. And she's refereed men's games many a time.
Yeah.
And like, there's the closest men's Scottish referee is like Mike Adamson, and he's terrible.
Yeah.
So like I'm always like rooting for Holly because I'm like, yeah, you're a good ref. You yeah. need to get more big 100%, games.
100%. It's just a smaller pool of talent to go through. It's nothing about being a woman or not. Mm-hmm. But I think it's unfair on the athletes
to not have the best officials available.
Yeah, to have the, you know, be at the highest point of their career and be the biggest thing in rugby happening at the moment and be able to spotlight on them, but be given lower tier talent in terms of officiating, because officiating makes a, I don't, the officiating is fine, but you see fine officiating at Heartland Rugby and NPC Rugby, but it's not international level officiating, and there's just some calls and you just know that's a little amateur.
Yeah,
you know?
There was an interesting stat about that game against the Canadians was I don't think they conceded a penalty into the 60th minute, and it's hard because we're New Zealanders to say this, but you can look at it and go, well, Canada, very good discipline to not concede any penalties for 60 minutes. Or you can go, I've watched a lot of rugby and every team is infringing all the time. So to not give away a penalty for 60 minutes, I don't want this to sound like I'm whinging about it. I don't think it changed the result of the game.
100% no.
But it's if it takes an hour.
Yeah. There was one that led to the near the first try that, I don't know which Canadian player was. She gets over the ball, but she goes to a knee very early on. But then she continues with it on her knees and spins. And it's just like,
hello?
You can't do that. It's just like, it's like right in front of the referee and the referee doesn't call it. Yeah. And you're just I saw things happen for the Kiwis that can't.
Like I said, that was not the reason the Black Ferns lost the game.
They lost the game because it was worse. I'm just saying, in terms of women's rugby, in terms of the tournament, this is the pinnacle of the game. Like, they should have the pinnacle of refereeing talent. And I get maybe you have a higher proportion of women's referees than you would generally, but you need to be having next week is
the final. I don't know if they've announced the referee for the final yet. I hope it's Holly Davidson.
She's the best, yeah.
But I don't think she was refereeing in the semis.
I think Scotland they should be giving every opportunity that the men get to referee as much as possible, and we should be trying to build their talent up. And I would really like to see more women refereeing big games when they deserve it, you know. But just solely being a referee in a massive fucking game, I feel like that's a little bit unfair on them because there is a huge amount of media attention, and their flaws are kind of out there to be seen. And like, these are ladies that are refereeing in front of 1,500 people most weeks, and then all of a sudden they're going to be someone's
talking them or whatever. You call them ladies. I always just call them girls because I don't call the men gentlemen. I just call them fucking boys. Get in there, boys.
Get in there, lads. I don't know.
Sia Khaleesi also calls them ladies.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
The ladies. What's wrong with the ladies?
Well, you don't call them the gentlemen.
Well, fuck, I don't know. Can I just call them
It's a hard one to navigate.
Women.
Men. Give them men.
Yeah. Do you hear what Stuart Nash said recently?
Who's Stuart Nash? He's a politician?
Is it Stuart Nash? He's a former Labour politician.
Okay.
He's a former Labour politician who got outs for doing something dodgy. He got kicked out of Parliament. And then he was on the radio recently with that guy from The Platform. Forgotten his name. But he's been a journalist for ages and a bit of a shock jock.
The Platform is that one that tries to be quite edgy, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a bit of a shock jock.
Right.
And then he said, well, you know, that stupid fucking right-wing question, what is a woman? What is a woman? And he said, do you really want me to answer that? And he's like, yep, I want to know what is a woman? And he said, clearly, a woman is a person with tits and a pussy. Oh, you know, so we're not delving into that level of controversy. But do you think I'm going to cop some shit about what I'm saying in terms of
the refereeing thing? The
refereeing thing.
I don't know. I mean, it's clearly a decision that they've gone with to promote the women officials in the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, but it's a horrible sort of what's actually the best? If I was the player, I want the best referees.
Yeah. I feel like the general consensus is that the refereeing has not been stellar. Like, the Irish fans were pretty livid the week before when, like, there was a freaking bite in their game.
Yeah.
That nobody picked up, and it was, like, blatantly right there. And they didn't even, like, oh, maybe we should stop. Like, you know, there's those micro knock-on infringements where they're like, let's look at this from six angles. Yeah. You know, it's like, well, there's a bite on my arm. And they told the ref, they're like, well, let's
Oh, it's a bit awkward if I have to bring it up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so, it's just...
She got banned for 9 games.
And, like, to be fair, like, there'll be some of the these female referees who rise to the occasion, but natural human impulses take over, and when people are under pressure, they feel more panicked, and when they feel more panicked, they make bad decisions.
This is those the books more, you've been reading again.
That's just no one's yet. Tony O'Sullivan. Would that be a book you'd read?
34-19, that's a bit of a hiding.
Mm. Yeah, I think the scoreline flattered us, to be fair.
I think that's my best performing women's match review ever.
Fantastic, because the ladies lost. Black
Ferns, people, yeah, like seeing New Zealand lose.
They do like it. It's the only thing to cheer you up, especially a little bit, when they lose.
I was actually thinking about, on the drive here, I was thinking, I've pretty much got a free market to make money, in that I should bet always at least maybe like $100 on the All Blacks to win every game they play.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they win, hooray, you get like $20 because they're paying like $1.20. If they win, I'm going to get the bet back. If they lose,
I'm going to get more
than $100 back in YouTube revenue extra than I might not have got. Like if I start to bet like $400, then I'm not going to make back.
Yeah. So you're going to start hedging your bets.
Maybe I should, is what I was thinking on the way here.
Maybe you could. Because then you can feel even more joy when they win, and then even more sadness when they lose.
Mm.
And then you'll be, but then still evened out cash-wise.
Maybe.
You know?
I'll have a look at the analytics. Like, YouTube videos don't pay that well, but they certainly pay a little bit better when they're all that well.
They pay the bills.
They
pay the bills. What a life you have, Mark. Full-time YouTuber.
I wouldn't say I'm full-time. I still have to look after the kids.
You're a full... How many hours a day do you reckon you work on YouTube?
Oh, there's a few.
Well, less than 8, I'd say.
Less than 8, but on the weekends, it's probably more than...
Yeah, so I think you do a 40-hour week, at least. Yeah. Cheers to you, Mark, and your...
Do you know, I didn't buy these beers with my own money.
Oh, fuck, we didn't even talk about the sponsor. Sponsor! Who have we got?
Ba-boom. It's a YouTube channel.
Seriously?
A rugby YouTube channel.
What the F?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Okay. Who we got here? Oh, am I reading this? Okay. Are you a diehard rugby fan who likes diving into the origins of the game's greatest players?
Yes.
Well, that's good. Then you need to check out the YouTube channel Rugby Debuts. You've seen it, right?
When this guy got in contact with me, I was like, I've seen your shit.
Yeah, it's really
like
good shit.
That meme
really
with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, I know that guy. And he makes comments. I think he's top notch. What a legend. Your ultimate archive for international rugby debuts. Was that a little bit too much?
I think I said debuts.
Debuts?
I think they've learned a bit of a New Zealand thing.
Each video zooms into the featured player's first big game, capturing the electric atmosphere with national anthems, their initial ball touches, pivotal play involvements, and those hilarious or insightful commentator mentions that make the moment unforgettable.
It's a really good library of some cracking debuts.
Yeah, it really is. I really am. Did you know France had a debutant in the 2011 Rugby World Cup final?
Who was that?
Some French bloke. Did you know a fresh-faced Hugh Jackman sang the Australian national anthem before the 1997 Bledisloe?
I did know that one. I've seen that footage.
Did you know the boss, Julian Safia, scored a hat-trick against Ireland on debut?
Not bad.
Didn't Christian Cullen score a hat-trick on debut too?
Go check out Rugby Debuts.
I remember in his first few games, he absolutely fucked up Scotland. From All Blacks icons like Dan Carter and Richie McCaw to rising talents across the globe, it's packed with nostalgic highlights that celebrate the raw excitement of stepping onto the world stage. Head over to YouTube. You might be watching on YouTube. Get off this shit and go somewhere better. Search for Rugby Debuts. We'll put a thing up in the corner for you, pal. Hit subscribe and start reveling. Reliving rugby history today.
Cheers to Rugby Debuts. For the beer. So I bought the old Maverick.
He's a Maverick.
He's a bit of a Maverick because he's had a few issues from what he was telling me in our conversation. He's had a few issues with the...
I can imagine.
The old copyright.
Yes. But maybe he gets off on the... Maybe he does. He's
always getting off.
But maybe he gets away with it because he's doing it a little bit.
He said he's had a few like takedown requests and stuff.
But does he get away with it because it's a little bit post... Because when you're putting up
I was saying to him... Like
a 94 game of...
Yeah, it's a strange one for them to be kind of taking down because he's not really competing with anyone for like an official product, right? It's not like Sky or Stan or whatever broadcaster has like a Richie McCaw debut video.
Yeah.
So like it's a bit of rugby history.
What a ledge.
It's going to promote the game.
Yeah. 100%. It's not like anyone's like, oh,
I was gonna watch the Bledisloe that Ian Park this week, but I thought I'll just watch Richie McCaw's debut instead.
Yeah, 100%. I don't
know if I can watch it.
I'll see Frank Bunce's debut in 1991. Actually, he debuted for which international team before he debuted
Western Samoa?
Correct. He played for the Western Samoa at the 1987 World Cup. Or was it the 1991 World Cup?
Eligibility laws were a bit different back then.
They were. And it was a great time. And Western Samoa won games back then.
Yeah, they drew with Chile at the weekend, but we'll get to that. Cheers to rugby debuts for the sponsorship.
Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing we didn't say about the Black Ferns now, they got the dreaded.
Yeah, third place match.
Third place playoff. But a good chance to say goodbye to...
some of the ledges.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well beaten. Well beaten by a better team.
Much better team. Good luck, Canada, in the final.
We're back in,
I was a little bit annoyed with some of the treatment the Canadians were getting in terms of, like, the media calling them, like, a dark horse and shit. Like, second-ranked team in the world cannot be a dark horse.
They're the favourites.
Yeah.
It's just weird, like...
I think people are just like, Canada?
They don't play rugby.
Underdog.
How the fuck has Canada's women's team managed to be so immensely successful whilst their men are just so immensely shit?
I was reading a Reddit post about this the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And there's apparently a few factors at play. I think professionalism fucked up the game in Canada because they don't have any money in it. It's more of like a university or college thing over there. But also apparently with the women, they don't quote me on this because I was just reading a Reddit post, but they said like women's ice hockey, which is the main contact sport over there, isn't like as contact as the men's. Like you're not allowed to do full body checks.
Oh, right.
You're allowed to do hits, but not like fully slam into people. Oh. And I think like the CFL, like their American football, I don't think has much of a women's game either. But there's apparently heaps of like, especially university pathways for...
The ladies
at rugby.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a chick... I can't use that word. If you're a
lady,
a woman, a female, whatever the hell, I'm going to get in trouble either way. All these words are banned.
no, they're not.
Some of them are.
Woman, female,
if
lady.
If you're a woman and you want to play contact sports in Canada, it's really easy to get into rugby, apparently, according to a Reddit post. So,
all right, fantastic.
That's from it was on the Canadian Reddit, so there must be Canadians answering those questions.
Yeah, well, I think...
There were a bunch of Canadians on there going, I joined rugby because of my, you know,
Canada,
university.
Get them behind your team. If you're watching this for the first time, get them behind your final. You're in a World Cup final. It's huge.
Yeah, you got some cracking good players.
Yeah, some stunners. Absolutely stunning players. So let's see where they go. And I would really love to see their men's team rise up to where they used to be.
They are going to be at the World Cup next time, which is an improvement.
Yeah, I feel like they've got a really good body type for rugby players as well. Like big, burly, physically dominant. If you took some of those incredible athletes from the NHL...
Mm.
Imagine seeing... Oh no, he's not actually Canadian, but imagine seeing Ovechkin in his heyday lace up some boots and
get Milo into it. Lucic is a big Canadian.
Get in, physical Canadian. Have him off the back of the ruck. Yeah. Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
Let's say a couple more times.
Yeah.
How was my read? Did you do well? Did I overdo it?
Yeah, you always overdo it. Mm. That's all right. There was the other game.
By the way, that's my 2CGD voice, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the third annual 2CGDs. No, they'll be coming up shortly, and we'll be giving away a stack full of these. A bloody bag full of these bastards.
You have to go to the shop and buy them every year.
Yeah, I know.
Stacks and stacks of them.
Send them out to them. And, you know, we've still got the original.
Yeah, we've got to keep the original.
The old Tiara 2 engraving and gifts. There we go.
England beat France in the other game.
That's, yes. For some reason, that threw me.
To be expected. But it was close at half-time. 7-5.
And it was a little tic-tac. And it was actually
France had so much ball.
The English were lucky to go in with a slight lead. Like,
their defense is very, very good. But France had so many chances.
And they scored a try that was pulled back, which looked 50-50.
Yeah.
If you ask me. There was two tries pulled back from forward passes.
One of them I was like, that's not forward, is it?
The long pass for the Canadian, the French one, I didn't think was forward. Yeah. I thought it drifted forward, but that's okay.
That's back out of the hand.
It's back out of the hand. It looked absolutely fine to me. And then old, what's his name?
Donald Trump. Huge.
Yeah, I love the French women's rugby team. What's his name? Carl Tanana. He's such a good company man for world rugby. He's like, yeah, good call. With that angle, you can see it.
Yeah.
He does a good job. He's made a bloody good career out of it. I think he's actually a quality broadcaster. But they get him onto
everything.
Everything.
Seems to be everywhere.
Yeah. Does really, really well. That was a strange call. And you think it could have been one they could have checked as well. Like, out of the hand backwards, like, and then there was one that was a blatant knock-on, like it was the most blatant knock-on, and then she went all the way through to the try,
and then she reviewed it,
and then
that was the knock-on of all knock-ons.
He knocked it into a player in front of her, came back, and then knocked it on again.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah. And then she said, well, we'll just check that.
That was one that had me thinking about the officiating going, this is a bit
pretty. Yeah, just a bit amateur, you know? Like, it's like if you
were... Because I looked at the ref, I was like, she's right there, she can see that. TMO can see that. I can see it. If I can see it, then they can see it.
And then I
they're supposed to spot the stuff that I can't see,
then I gave
not see the stuff that I did see.
I gave her the benefit of the doubt. I was like, well, lead to a try. There's no harm.
Have a check. Yeah.
Have a check. But it'll be safe. And then the other ones, there was a England try, which I think was the right call, the little tap on.
Right.
But even that could.
Marginal.
Someone called that a line ball, I'd be okay with it too. Yeah. Anyway, officiating. Can we get it to a good standard for the ladies? They deserve it.
Ellie Cooldown's very good.
Yeah.
She's very, very, very fast.
Her felt. Oh, yeah.
She so is good. Like. I know they got Alona Mara as like the poster girl of the women's rugby, but Ellie Kildan is right up there.
A sensation, eh?
Yeah.
In terms of the actual performance of the English team, it seemed to me in that first 50, 55 minutes, they were playing like a team that was shit scared of losing.
A little bit within themselves.
A little bit within themselves, a little bit anxious. And it was only until they got, beyond sort of 10 points in the last 20 minutes where they just they turned on the afterburner.
They unleashed a bit,
because they were playing with a lot more freedom. Well, they
scored on like the 59th, 69th, 79th minutes.
Yeah.
The last quarter.
They had the game kind of sewn up by that stage, and then they were able to play with that sort of freedom that has made them just completely unbeatable.
I think 31 games in a row they've won.
I mean, that wasn't I thought they were playing pretty poorly for their standard.
By their standards.
From where they've been at for those first 55 to 60 minutes.
I feel like they've got a little bit of pressure on them like All Blacks teams of old.
You know what I mean? Like you just don't blow it now. Yeah. Just don't blow it now.
You've won so many games. You've won everything else. This is your home World Cup. Don't blow it.
Yeah.
So it's got a little bit kind of 2011 vibes going into the final.
Like, yeah.
We certainly, because we pumped the French in the pool stage of that World Cup.
I think we put 50 points on them.
And then
we
struggled. We were probably not the best team in the final, but we found a way to win.
And if Canada, they're quick starters. By the way,
before anyone mentions, they did a referee review of that thing back in 2011. One of the French newspapers did it, and they said the ref was fine. So stop with that narrative that we were gifted the final. Fuck off.
Whoa. We've hit a nerve there.
Yeah, we did.
But I think that this Canada team, if Goody can really dig Goody.
Such an appropriate name.
Because she is real.
It's like Sam Whitelock being a white lock. Like Sophie DeGoody, she's a DeGoody.
Yeah, she's a goody.
I'm a small mind, amused by small things.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Mark the small penis.
Exactly right.
Perfectly named. But if she can lead them, they've got some classy outside backs, some good...
Asia Hogan-Rochester, she's lightning quick as well. Yeah, she scored a try against
really good hands. Really, I felt like their forwards are very, very big and physical.
Yeah, and like, they've got quick hands as well. They're able to get that quick... They remind me a little bit of Ireland men's team, you know, just quick ball.
Yeah.
Make the team not have time to set their defensive line.
I feel a little bit torn on this one, actually. I feel as though I would love to see Canada get up and win. Everyone loves an underdog story.
Yep.
But I also feel like it would be desperately unfair if the if England didn't get up after winning all those games in a row, after losing the World Cup final last year, last time. The only games they lose are World Cup finals. Imagine.
That'd be brutal.
Oh, you would rip your undies completely apart. And John Mitchell has got a bit of a history of capitulating teams in big World Cup moments. So will he be able to do it? Will he be able to?
I mean, they'll be favourites, but I would
What time's the game?
It's on at the same time as the box against Argentina. It's like 10 minutes difference.
Yo, what the fuck?
I know. The Women's World Cup for us is 4 in the morning on Sunday. The box starts at 4:10.
So what do you? What's your call?
I have to watch the box.
Oh, come on, watch the ladies, man. It's a once in a 4-year tournament. Just put it out and just say... Sorry, this one's an hour late. Come on. That's your one moment of feminism for 4 years. Do it. It's a World Cup final.
It's going to affect me financially.
I'll give you... I'll flick you a couple of shekels. Yeah, I think...
It sucks that they're scheduled at the same time. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, imagine if the fucking Bok ladies... Well, imagine Bok if the Bok ladies had got up. Like, what would they be telling the people? That's just terrible. World rugby?
I don't think it's world rugby. I mean, world rugby would have scheduled the final, but it would have been Sansa that scheduled the...
Oh, good one, Sansa.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that's
shit. I guess they figure it's two different audiences, which in a lot of cases is true.
Well, I think then for women's rugby to succeed, it's not only feminists and... blue-haired liberals that need to get in behind it, and more power to those people who get in behind it. They also need bloody rugby fans to get in behind it, because it's fucking really fun rugby to watch. It's ball in hand. It's like rugby the way rugby used to.
There's less box kicking.
Yeah, that's great.
There's less aerial game.
Yeah. It's just...
There's heaps of spin it.
Yeah, fling it wide.
There's still a fair bit of kicking, but there's less like, let's just up and under, like Gary Owen the shit out of this.
Good counter-attacking moves and stuff. Really fun rugby to watch.
Yeah.
It's good. If you're a rugby fan, get in behind. Especially, like, to be honest with you, sometimes I've killed a little bit of Farrah Palmer Cup here and there, and it's like the level's not quite at a point where I'm, like, thoroughly entertained, where it's just, like, a bit too much drop ball and a little bit clunky at times. And fucking men's rugby can be that way too. But at international level, these girls are fucking good. Mm. You know, really, really good. And they're really worth a watch. Get in there and watch it, you pricks. Do people like being called pricks to do things? Not. Get in there and watch it, you lovely people.
Gentlemen.
Gentlemen. And ladies. Ladies might be watching. April Tui watches us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'll watch it.
And Novmum.
Although she also likes the box. Oh. She's a big Bok fan.
Is she?
Yeah.
I thought she was a Kiwi fan.
She's a Kiwi, but I think NZ rugby's like given too many free passes to like domestic abusers and
whatnot
that she's not a fan of the organization.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Political.
Which I can understand.
What are the big other ladies fans we got out? Novmum.
Novmum's good, old Jasmine.
Yeah. Who else is there?
Oh man, I feel bad because she sent us that video and now her name is skipped from my head.
She's a champ. We love her.
Oh, why is that name not there?
Scottish lady.
Irish.
Oh, yeah, sorry. And she sent it from somewhere exotic.
Yes. Oh, it's so bad that I can't remember her name. I'm so good with faces, but so bad with names.
I can picture her too. She was on a lovely beach. And I do know the name.
Yes, me as well.
Shithouse.
Oh, it's not coming to me. I forget rugby players' names too, sometimes.
He's a terrible person.
I'm a terrible person.
He's the worst.
I am.
The worst. Okay, so that's the final. Okay, let's just do a quick little prediction. Who's going to win it?
England. If nothing else, they've grown
England,
on me throughout
England,
the tournament.
England. Who's going to win the bronze final?
Oh, we win that one.
You reckon?
No, probably not.
We'll see. 50-50 to me.
See what kind of teams they pick.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Next up.
Do you want to talk about Bledisloe?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Bledisloe is upon us. Once again, we return to the Garden of Eden.
It's an early kickoff. It's like 5 o'clock.
Why?
I don't know. My dad's going to come around and do a live stream.
Ba-boom. I'm going to be a mungify.
Okay.
And, okay, 5 p.m.
Oh, like 5 past 5, 10 past
why
5?
Why 5?
Afternoon rugby, late, early evening rugby.
What's the forecast? I think the forecast is dog shit for the weekend.
Is it really?
Let's have a gander.
Yeah. But Eden Park record once again on the line.
And again, welcome to the fortress and all that sort of stuff.
Can they schmidt it in?
I think
we've got Rygaard back.
That's a massive gain. I think there's been a little bit of talk around.
They've got no Valentini. He's injured.
Saturday, there's rain most of the day. Funny that being spring in New Zealand.
Mm.
It's a very rainy time of year for us, spring in New Zealand. 18 degree high. It'll be at 5. There's a little bit of sun coming out.
There you go.
There we go.
Pete Samu is going to be back, though.
Well, that's a big game.
So, no Valentini, but gain a Samu.
I like a Valentini more than I like a Samu. But, this Australian team has been looking so promising and so good and building so nicely. I know that they lost their most recent game against Argentina, but I think Schmitty will be, this is a massive, massive, massive game for them. It's a massive game for us, especially coming off that fucking really disappointing.
Is this make or break for Razor? My dad reckons that if he loses 2 games against the Aussies, he could be gone, but I don't think so. I think he survives, but I think his assistants get cut, like they did with Fozzie.
Yeah, there might be. The axe might swing.
Mm. I think there would be blood if they lose both.
I don't think they'll lose Jace Ryan.
Mm.
Unless the forwards are absolutely decimated.
Mm. Which they got decimated against the box.
Oh, yeah, shit, they did. But for some reason, we seem to go. We feel pretty comfortable against the Aussies. Even when they've got good teams, we're just like, oh, okay.
We should beat them.
We should be all right. So I think we should be all right, but I've got no good reason to think that. I can't think of a good reason.
History tells you that the Aussies don't win in New Zealand.
Yeah, they don't
win for a long time.
Yeah, but they've been playing so fucking well. They played really well. They were very unlucky not to win the series against the Lions. They were very unlucky not to have 2-0 against the Springboks, and they mounted an incredible comeback.
Some would argue they were lucky to win 1 game against the Pumas.
Yeah.
They had to come back in both of those games.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the trophy that I think... do you think it's arrogant of me to say that them, if they won the Bledisloe Cup...
It would be bigger than the Tri-Nation. It
would be more... A rugby championship. It would mean more to them than the rugby championship. I think it would.
I think it would be a bigger headline.
Yeah.
Over in Aussie, where it's hard to get rugby union headlines.
They haven't had it since 2003.
Yeah, there was a big thing on the breakdown, I think, about like what was going on, like who was president of America.
They do it every year. Every year we get those headlines. And they go, this was what a phone looked like. And it's some guy carrying on a backpack. No, the phones are a little bit smaller.
It wasn't like
1989. Yeah. Yeah, jeez. We were very young men.
Yeah.
Back in 2003. I just got back from the UK. I spent 2002 in the UK.
I think I was still at university.
Yeah, I did my first year of uni in 2003.
Mm.
You would have been your second year. Yeah. Not that you're older than me. I just did a gap year.
Yeah, I didn't do a gap year. I went straight into it.
Just really ripped in.
Straight into it.
Yeah, really got into it. So they got, I think, them not having right at the back.
That sucks.
That really sucks.
Well, Callaway's been all right.
He's been playing. He's a really, really, really suitable, apt replacement. I think Mick Wright, if he goes off, he could cause massive problems for us.
It sucks because they could have had a team which has Liam Wright, Fraser McWright, Tom Wright. Like, that's fucking all of them. Everything's right about that
side. Yeah, exactly. Nothing that's wrong about
two
it.
Two of those Wrights are injured, unfortunately.
Yeah.
They've only got Mick Wright.
And that makes it wrong. Yeah, well, Mick Wright, I think, is one of the preeminent players in the
world. Yeah, if you want to have one Wright, you could do worse than Fraser McWright.
He's the McDonald's version of them, of the Wrights. And Mick Wright, eating a McRib.
I tried the McRib the other day.
Oh, did you?
They brought it back on the menu temporarily. It's not that good.
I don't think I've ever had one.
It's not very good. I wouldn't recommend it.
So Mick Wright's in there, and who they got at number 10 now? Is Tane Edmed still in there?
Is Donaldson Jock back? James O'Connor's gone off to Leicester.
Oh, really?
He's over in the UK. He's not sure if he's going to be back. I was talking about it with my dad, I think, the other day, about how the Aussies, and we could be in the same position if we ever opened that door a little bit.
Yeah.
We're not in the same position where the box are to have players available who are playing for other unions. One guy did email me to point out, like, look, all the guys who are currently playing the Springboks, who play outside South Africa, none of them are playing in France.
Yeah.
Because the French clubs are a little bit harder to kind of deal with. Yeah. But yeah, the Wallabies have lost Skelton back to his French club.
Yeah.
O'Connor's gone to his English club. So that's the thing. If they are going to keep picking guys from overseas, they need to grease those wheels.
I think just in game management, it's maybe where we can have him. Because I think Tane Edmed's a good player.
Mm.
I don't think he's quite international standard. I don't know. I mean, to be harsh, but not many people are. He's fine.
Mm.
He's good. He's got good, nice footwork.
Yep.
He looked great in NPC, but he's not quite that.
NPC Test rugby is not.
It's a huge mm. Gap. And they've had a real crisis at 10 going on, but they've just kept on managing to put out really, really high quality performances. And the thing I admire most about that team, it's not just the sort of,
cat fight
outside. Ooh. Oh, they can't hear it. So it's just us going, ooh, there's a brutal cat fight. All that sort of stuff. Cats fighting sounds pretty nasty.
Yeah.
Anyway, the thing I admire most about the team isn't the fact that they've actually had some stunning tries, some really, really great interplay and some great sharpness and some real physical intent in their collisions and whatnot. It's the fact that they've found themselves in losing positions on a number of occasions and won, if not made it a real good game.
Yeah, grit, determination.
Yeah, they've got a lot of heart. So I think we've always backed to the fact that we've, get up 12 points, 13 points early on and then just sort of piss it in from there. I think this is a Wallaby squad that's much better than the Wallaby squads that we've had for the last 5 or 6 years, I'd say.
Certainly so, better coached.
Yeah, yeah. And they've got a bit of grit, a bit of determination, a bit of never say die. They won't die wandering. They'll chance their hand. Mm. They can really punish you. Jorgensen is one of the world's best backs in the at the moment. And the All Blacks are coming off their worst ever loss.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to have an impact. That confidence is a thing. Like the All Blacks have always been a great team because they're just supremely confident.
Yeah.
And
I've kind of felt like in the past when we had those all-conquering All Blacks teams that sometimes when we weren't on our game and teams were up against us getting towards the final quarter, I kind of feel like the other teams sometimes went into their shells and shit themselves a bit because they were thinking, We might actually beat the All Blacks.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of played into the All Blacks' hands a little bit.
Yeah, the aura got them.
Yeah, I mean, I hate when they always talk about the aura because every friggin' year there's the All Blacks' aura.
They were talking about the bloody Black Ferns aura recently. Yeah, I was like, oh God, the aura's gone too, shit.
Okay, we've got no auras anymore. But yeah, I do think that the All Blacks don't, well, they didn't show it against the box, did they?
That certainly not in that game.
Traditional kind of All Blacks grit and determination to come back at the end and make a game of it.
No. And there was plenty of chances to dig their teeth in and make something of that. I think there were two things. We started playing like dog shit and they started playing exceptionally well.
Those two things. It only has to be like a 5% difference. And then at that level, it's massive.
And just, I've never seen us miss tackles like the way we did.
Yeah.
Anyway, we talked about this for an hour last week.
Yeah, so let's not we don't dig have, up that
yeah,
corpse.
Yeah. But if we turn up and we play like we played in the last half an hour of that game, we're going
to
lose.
We are, yeah. We need to see the bounce back.
Yeah. And we used to see bounce. We're just old men who talk about how things used to be.
Yeah.
It's really what we do. But in the old days, if we had a tight win, we would have a bounce back. If we had a fucking draw, we would have a massive bounce. That time, if we like have a loss, we would go nuts the next week. Remember that time Brian O'Driscoll's
Irish team came here and yeah. they pushed us really close?
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
almost their first win against us. And then there was a lot of hype going into game two. We absolutely pumped them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Brian O'Driscoll, at the interview of the second game, was just like,
oh, it was like they just did one of those games. Yeah. Where they caught everything and everything yeah. went well. I was, believe it or not, I was in Ireland.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, during that. I didn't watch that first game. I was on. There's a video I made, and I actually tell the story about where I was. I was hungover as fuck on a bus, I think between Galway and going back to Dublin or something like that.
Okay.
And the bus driver, he was a rugby fan, and no one else on the bus. It was full of Europeans and English people and stuff. Right. No one else really gave a fuck about rugby. Well, I was just, before I got on, I said, can you just keep me updated on the scores and stuff? We're going to fucking pump you today. And then he was like, oh, well, you're pretty good. I don't know if you're seeing someone. I said, yeah, fucking whatever. And then I was at the back of the bus, just kind of like wanting to die, like feeling very sorry for myself. And then he said, I just want to make an announcement. The Ireland are up with 4 minutes to play. But he gave the scores and something, and I just went, not a fucking worry. We got this. And then I went back to sleep. And then he came, pitched back up on his microphone and went, you fucking bastard. you fucking bastard character. Got a drop goal. And then I went, you fucking know it. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah.
Oh, Dan Carter. He was pretty good.
Yes, he was pretty good.
Kept his warehouse.
Yeah. Honor Carter's in there too.
Honor.
Yeah.
What a name.
Yeah. Funnily enough, I actually won't say that.
Okay. So you think confident we're going to win? Relatively.
Undeservedly so.
Yeah, okay. I'm the same. I think we're going to win.
But
I have no reason to think that other than, like, we always win at Eden Park. We usually bounce back after a loss.
Yeah.
Things will click.
Yeah.
We'll win.
But then... I do see a world where we lose, and I sit there going, I should have seen it coming.
Yeah. It will not surprise. It would be predictable if we win, and I will not be like on the floor shocked if we lost.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
100%.
The Boks are also playing Argentina.
Yes.
At the same time as the Women's World Cup final.
Which fucking sucks.
In Durban.
to be fair, I'm probably not going to wake up for either of them.
No, you're not.
In Durbs. Derby Derb.
Do you think the Boks...
lose?
Win?
I think they probably win. But I think the Argentinians...
They've got Albin Oz back.
Oh, that's good. He's a great player. I think Argentina are a quality squad that are worth... Like, there were early... Talks early on was like, why do we have Argentina? They never offer everything. They just get pumped by everybody. They were kind of like our Italy. And Italy are still there, Italy. Italy is still Italy, where Argentina...
They've got to start giving Wales shit. They finished ahead of Wales, I think, the last 2-6 nations.
Sorry, Wales. You suck too. But at least Wales have won it. They've got some history.
This is true.
Yeah, yeah. But Argentina are so good. Imagine if they got up and got two of them and we...
Well, nobody gave Argentina... Admittedly, it was in Argentina. But last year's rugby championship, the Boks were on a steamrolling campaign.
Mm.
They're going to go through undefeated. And then the Pumas rolled them.
Mm.
Admittedly, to get beaten in the final game in South Africa, but
yeah,
the Pumas love a game
where
nobody's given them a chance.
Yeah,
and I think this is, like, I'm not saying they're going to win, but I think this is
they're
one
dangerous.
Of those games.
They're dangerous. Like, if the Boks don't turn up with, you know, their mind on the game to do everything really, really well, Argentina, they're good enough to make you pay if you're off the pace.
Mm.
Like, I think if the two teams play their best, I think that. The Boks win,
yeah,
but the Boks have proved to be a little bit inconsistent this year.
Is there a potential? Because I think maybe we saw it a little bit with the All Blacks games. Like, win Eden Park, there's this big emotional like drain, like all the pressure's gone. Then they get pumped the next week in Park. Now the Boks have just had a massive win,
and well, they got a bye, which I think would have been the week helpful. Off would have helped
a chance to settle back down,
get your travel out of here, and all that sort of jazz.
Mm.
So I think I don't know. I think
if they take the Pumas lightly, which I don't think they will, but if they do, and they're a little bit off the pace,
we thought that they were going to Dollars to Donuts pump, not pump, but definitely beat.
Yeah, Wallabies, no chance at Ellis Park. So this is a similar situation.
Yeah, anything can happen. What I think, what I'm hoping for is the way that we win the rugby championship from here is win with two bonus points. And I think that would be the easiest way to win. And they win, they win both their games, but don't get bonus points.
Bonus points could be the deciding factor.
Yeah. The old BPs.
Love a BP.
Love a BIP.
Right. Elsewhere.
Pacific Nations Championship.
Fiji won.
Bubba, and some silky, silky rugby. I've got to be honest. But when
you were in Utah watching like three games of rugby.
If you're a Mormon in Utah with your 16 wives.
They had three games on in a row. They had a World Cup qualifying match between Samoa and Chile.
Jeez.
And then they had a third place match between Tonga and Canada. And then they had the final between Japan and Fiji. You were treated to quite a day of rugby.
A festival of rugby.
Proper festival.
I didn't watch any of the apart from the. I watched the highlights from the Fiji game.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, you were sat outside today. Well, you were up to the house, and then I was watching the highlights.
Yes.
And I was watching. I was going, oh, oh,
and I yelled at you through the window. Oh. Fiji rugby.
Because there's so many lovely little moments.
There's
little
one
flat
try where, like, there's a loose ball and the Fijian prop bends down to pick it over, chucks the fucking thing around his back.
Yeah, a little backhander to his, the, to his to his halfback.
Offloads.
Halfback goes to his number four, and his number four, the other the lock, does another fucking incredible backflip.
Yeah.
You know, the backflip that went about 4.5 meters.
I know.
And I was just like, oh, it didn't quite that move didn't directly finishing a try. There was a couple of rucks in between, but
it was some sexy rugby.
We've said this a few times, and we said it earlier today before we started recording, is like, it's the one team in the world you really have to check the numbers on the on the players' backs, other than maybe the props.
No, man, like, yeah, even the props
like, are just bigger. You can kind
of
tell.
No, but at times, I think I've mentioned this before, when I look up the rugby history of players, sevens history with the props. No other country is like, you know, well, I used to play sevens and now I'm playing prop for the All Blacks.
You don't hear that, like,
doesn't happen.
Tulsi Pelosi.
Yeah, oh, Tamaiti Williams used to play sevens over in Perth.
Yeah, no, but they have, but the number fours and the looser, they just, you just like, oh, I think it's a,
he's a loosey.
Like, athletically running like a back, running like a winger, and you're like, oh shit, he's the four. He scored that first try.
Yeah, but
the Japanese got the first try, but then.
They did. The Japanese were up 10-0.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, Japan, Eddie Jones.
Look at them go.
They scored a really nice try.
Yeah, and just then, a little silky move off the
the Fijians went 33 off the line out. Three unanswered points.
Let's go 36
was 33-10.
It was 36-10.
Was it 36?
It was 36-10.
Okay. No, it was 33. I've got notes here.
I would give you $1 million if I'm wrong.
I'm going to look it up.
Okay. 36-10.
Okay. You were wrong about the Steinlager thing last week as well.
Was I?
It was.
He was drinking a Steiny.
It was a Steiny.
Bullshit. Yeah.
Bro, I'm telling you, the people mentioned it in the comments.
Well, did you look it up yourself?
33-27. Where's my $1 million?
Fuck. Damn it.
I'll take that.
Oh, no.
I'll take that in cash.
Shit. Are you, at halftime, it was 20. I meant at halftime, they had a 16-point lead. It was 26-10 at halftime.
What you said. You going to write me a check or get your checkbook out?
Just, you're going to pound me in the ass to get your money that way. Damn it. I mean, at halftime, they scored 26. They scored 26 unanswered points in the last 20 minutes of that game, 20 minutes of the first half. I didn't listen. Like, this is school C all over again. I didn't read the question.
Oh, dear.
Good times. Well, that was a humbling
moment. But they scored some nice tries. I looked at the stats, man. Like, the Japanese 13, I think, missed four. The right winger missed five. The fullback missed four. Like, just one-on-one. Up against some of those Fijian backs, but also the loosies and locks.
Yeah.
Like, there was just too many one-on-one missed tackles.
They didn't. It wasn't just missing the tackles. It was that when they would tackle them,
they'd offload in the tackle.
They would often, it'd be a passive tackle, and they wouldn't wrap up the ball, and they'd
free their arms.
They'd free their arms, and like, be able to like offload from the ground, offload from anywhere. And that's exactly the type of rugby that they want to play.
The captain, he kind of the hooker scored one from like a pop pass from the deck. And he's just like, I'm the support runner. I'm the hooker. I don't care.
The way we're talking about it, you would think that the Fijians absolutely pumped them. But to give credit to the Japanese,
they made a comeback.
They made a great comeback. And it's one of the most fucking styles makes fights, and one of the most entertaining stylistic matchups in world rugby.
Very much so. Because it was 10-0 to the Japanese, then 33 unanswered points from Fiji, and then 17 unanswered points from Japan.
Yeah, just two teams that just got great skills, love to run the ball, play with plenty of endeavour. Fucking, they keep the box kicks in the pocket a little bit.
Great rugby.
Lovely rugby. Really game, and a real good advertisement for the game in the US.
Yeah.
If you went to Utah, you would have gone, I got dragged along to this thing, but it was fun. Yeah, it was a good time.
They would have also seen Samoa play out a 32-all draw with Chile. You didn't watch that one?
No, but I saw the result and I was like,
Chile were up. I forget by how much.
Peter Fadayalofa is rolling over in his grave.
Chile had the game like dead and buried at halftime.
Yeah.
The scoreline is something reversed, like something 7 at halftime, and then like Chile only scored 7 points in the second half and Samoa scored like, you know, 25 or something.
Yeah.
So Samoa had a good comeback, but that's only halftime.
Yeah.
Cuz there's a second leg to come in Chile. Next week. So Chile could win.
Yeah, what I feel kind of really, really terrible about this, like just due to the fact that Samoa have so many great rugby players, have delivered so much great talent
around the world,
and and they have a lot of great talented players who qualify for it right now.
Yeah,
but the NZR have been right bastards about letting their players. We've been the French rugby. You know, about like Miracle Faialangi, one of the best players in Super Rugby this year.
He's playing NPC instead of playing in a Samoan
team when they really need him, you know? Like, and there was this whole thing about starting Moana Pacific as a way to support, support Pacific Rugby.
Yeah.
But they're not actually doing anything to support their national team. I know, like, there's been issues with the national team in the past in terms of the way that they've been run. There's a little bit of corruption, all that sort of shit. Yep. But we've got to help them to get their best players on the park.
That's the thing. I mean, I was having a
look. They should be fucking up.
Because Samoa,
They should be contesting to be in that final.
Samoa played Chile at the last Rugby World Cup.
Yeah.
And they pumped them.
Yeah.
By like 30-odd points. But I was looking at the teams that played that day. And the vast majority of the guys who played for Samoa in that game,
they're
not in the Pacific Nations Cup.
They're the European
players. They'll show up for the World Cup. Yeah. Because I guess, I don't think they get paid to play for Samoa.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you would have to get out of your club or tell your club, I'm going to go leave without pay.
Yeah.
It's a real big financial, and like, it's hard to tell your wife or your bank with your mortgage, I'm just going to go without pay for 4 weeks to play in the almighty Pacific Nations Cup.
Yeah.
Like, if it's the World Cup, that's like potentially a once in a lifetime opportunity. You'll get to play.
If they don't watch out, they're gonna fucking,
they're not gonna make the World Cup.
No.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It's troubling.
Yeah,
it's troubling. Like, yeah, like you mentioned, Miracle Faialangi is one, but there's a
lot
more.
They're giving us some of the best World Cup moments. And look, if Chile make it, like, all credit to them.
I'm really torn about that, because obviously here in New Zealand, we have a massive connection with Samoa. I think there's more Samoans living here than in Samoa. And a lot of our great All Blacks are born to Samoan
heritage.
Parents, yeah. So I would like Samoa to do well.
Yeah, totally.
But also, Chile is a team who's on the up. They're investing in the game. They've got 100% homegrown team. Like, they
be a massive moment for them.
They're a massive underdog, and they play really fun rugby. So I would love to see them do well as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They
don't have any former All Blacks that they can be like, oh, do you want to come play for Samoa now that you've been, or for Chile now that you've been standing down for 3 years? You know, they have to just fight
tooth and nail to get up for it.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
Both teams can still make it because there's still the repercharge to go for the loser. They'll play like Namibia and Brazil and Belgium and stuff like that.
So they can get through that.
Well, I mean, America went to the repechage at the last World Cup and didn't make it.
But they're not Samoa. Like Samoa are like one of those teams you just expect to see there. Like,
they're, if they don't win against Chile, they better get all the big guns for that repechage in November.
Right. Yeah, right. Surely they can pass it again.
November's an international test window, so they should. Yeah, they should be able to get access to all their big guns. All
right. Surely they should, even without the big guns, they should be able to pass it in against fucking Brazil and Uruguay. You think against Uruguay's Chile? Uruguay's
already qualified.
All right.
Yeah, but I think Brazil.
You think Chile, they could Belgium, pass it in?
Yeah, I don't know.
Jeez. Well, this is a good sign. Like, I've actually been, I'm really interested in the development of the game in South America.
Yeah.
Like,
Uruguay's come along leaps and bounds. Chile's come along. That's what I mean about, like, you kind of want those teams to do well because they're growing. Whereas like the Samoan, they've been on the decline for a long time. And the Samoan Rugby Union doesn't seem
to be... Argentina is a hell of a sporting nation. Like one of the world's best football team, the global game, and one of the world's best rugby teams as well. Yeah, hats off to you for your team sports, Argentina. Really.
How about gymnastics?
I don't know.
Me neither. What's your third sport, Argentina? What else are you good at?
I would say something like water polo.
Okay, it's kind of an elite sport.
Yeah, maybe. What do you reckon? Should I ask ChatGPT?
No.
Probably rugby's not even their top three sports.
Probably not.
Hold on, wait a sec. I'm going to hit.
Tonga also beat Canada. I watched it, but I didn't do a video on it.
What are the top three sports in Argentina in terms of participation and performance on the world stage? Connection failed.
Doesn't want you to know.
Oh, that was anticlimactic.
Time for some Baywatch.
Hold on. Just talk about something else for a second. And then start with
Tonga beat Canada 35-24. It was to be expected. Mm. But Canada, again, put up a good fight after seemingly being dead and buried. Well done, Tonga.
Tell your line.
It's time for Baywatch. There you go. Thank you once again to Jimmy. We're making our way through your beers.
Yeah, thank you. We're almost. I think we got a wee bit to go.
A few beers to go.
But
your team lost.
Suck it.
Hawke's Bay.
Sorry, Jimmy.
They lost to Taranaki.
I should be telling no one to suck it.
I picked it. Your team's the fucking bottom of the table. Your team doesn't have a win. Your team is on 5 points. The next worst team, Southland, are on 14.
Oh, God. We haven't got a win, and we've lost like 3 games on the buzzer.
You lost to Northland by a point at the weekend.
I saw a little bit of the highlights. They got a penalty in the last moment to win it.
But in good news, Canterbury lost the round for the Shield to Otago. Love it.
But you know what's amazing? I think we've got the Harbour's got.
You guys have got a challenge.
We got a challenge.
You're the last challenger of the year. That'll be your game to win.
That'll be it.
And then if you win it, you have a defense up against Southland, I think.
Oh, really?
Southland could get it twice in one season. That would be cracking. Please do it, North Harbour.
Come on, Harbour. Let's get it
shield.
Done.
Your one the win, shield. The Shield Championship. That'd be great.
That'd be amazing. Then piss one down in Southland and just put it away for the summer. Because it really is. Like, it's moving around so much. You just want to win that last one of the year.
Exactly.
And just take it to all the fucking barbecues and shit. Because it's real community driven. Like, you see it everywhere.
Yeah. I can't talk much because Auckland, after winning 2 games, got pumped by counties 49-28.
They got pumped by counties?
Yeah, counties.
Holy shit. Have we had the Battle of the Bridge yet?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because we lost to counties by a point, so...
Yeah, we've only had 2 wins, and it wasn't against Harbour.
Yeah.
So...
Not great.
Yeah, but well done to Otago.
Well done, Otago.
We won it by 2 points. I didn't watch the game, but I was looking at my phone, and Canterbury had a massive lead, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to watch that.
Yeah, right. Well done.
But Otago came back and won it.
Otago! Well, very good. Well done, Otago. That's the NPC.
That's the NPC.
That is rugby for another week. Brought to you by
2 Cents Gets Distracted.
It's a rugby podcast. It is a rugby podcast.
Now, if you want to sponsor the next episode,
let us know.
Slots are open.
They are open.
Cheers to rugby debuts.
Yes.
Go check them out.
Fantastic. Might be there if I've edited it in.
He probably hasn't remembered to.
Probably haven't. But I will definitely edit something into the thing for them.
Also, thank you for being here, because YouTube's doing funny things these days about not showing certain videos to certain people. Yes,
because our content is a little bit naughty.
It's a little bit sweary.
A little bit sweary, and YouTube has been far more harsh on that than they used to be.
Yeah.
So
it says like Tony's most recent video is like 10 months ago.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Yeah, I've made more recent videos than that. Yeah,
just my most recent live stream is likewise almost a year ago, because I swear about on the live stream. Yeah, so YouTube's been, it's affecting other channels more, but thank you for being here. This one's on Tony's channel.
Yeah, yeah. It may not be the greatest, the massive, biggest podcast, but if you're here and you're still listening,
you're a champ.
You're amongst a very small, exclusive group at this stage. We appreciate you very much.
The elite.
You really are. You are also the elite of podcast rugby podcasters in West Auckland.
This is true.
You really are. Good on you, Mark. Well done. Good on you.
See you next week, folks.
Bye-bye.